Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4833. And the access code is 997020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you again to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you, Father, more personally, so we say may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice, that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic angels and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covet with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will be reading from the New King James translation of the Bible. So if there are some words that are different from yours, please do not be concerned. We will get to the same place at the same time. I guarantee you that. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Again, it is not our Lord who wants us ignorant regarding the things of the Holy Spirit. Ignorant means to know or to not know through a lack of information or intelligence. God wants us informed, knowledgeable, and willing to explore the promises and truth that only His Word has for us, His children, the body of Christ. Now, please go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 17 and 18. It says, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." So we see that our Heavenly Father wants us to grow in his grace and knowledge of who? Our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Now go to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Again, that's Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And it says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you, and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and obtaining all riches of the full assurance of understanding in the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So it's in God, in his hidden truths, are hidden all the wisdom and knowledge. So God wants his children to be informed. Now the question is, I believe, that we should ask is, how do we accomplish this test? How do we stay knowledgeable of the things of God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Please go to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And please go to verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Be diligent." And I think the traditional King James says study. So be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So we see here in the word of God that God is telling us to study his word. And once we study, we're going to show ourselves obedient to him and approved by God. We're not studying to be approved by our wives or husbands or our families or loved ones. We're studying to be approved by God. And we all study differently. So don't be concerned about how I relate to the word of God, because it's you being approved unto God. Amen. We diligently take the time to be students of his word. Now, God tells us that if we draw closer to him, he will draw closer to us. So the more we study his word, the more knowledgeable in the things of the word and of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we will get. Amen. Now, we have for the last few weeks been studying on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And a gift has to be accepted by the person receiving the gift. Now, they can refuse it, but most of the times, the gift is accepted. Now, our subject of teaching are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which comprise of 9 gifts divided into 3 categories. Again, we're studying on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are 9 gifts divided into 3 categories. There are 3 that say something, or better known as the vocal gifts. And they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. Again, the 3 gifts that say something, or better known as the vocal gifts, are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. The next 3 categories or gifts are the ones that do something, or better known as the power gifts. And they are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Again, the three gifts that do something are better known as power gifts, and they are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And finally, the three that reveal something to us, and they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Again, the three that reveal something are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. All these gifts are supernaturally manifested or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. None of the gifts are natural, but supernatural manifested. Amen. Now, our last time together, we were teaching on the second set of the gifts known as the power gifts, which are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Amen. Now, we were looking at an event regarding faith or special faith for personal protection involving Daniel. Now, Daniel was highly preferred by King Darius, but was envied by the other members of the royal court of Darius. Scripture tells us that he was brought before the king because a decree had been established and signed by Darius and David himself, by Daniel himself, that anyone in the next 30 days petition any man or God except the king Darius would be thrown into the den of lions. Now, the scripture tells us that Daniel prayed 3 days or three times a day to his God as usual, as it was his custom. It says, as it was his custom. So apparently David was trained as a child to pray to his Lord 3 times a day. In doing so, he was accused of defying the decree and was demanded to be thrown into the den of lions. Now, although King Darius was greatly grieved, he carried the execution of the sentence by having Daniel thrown into the lion's den. But he spoke to Daniel, saying, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Well, the story tells us that God sent his angels and closed the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was not injured. The king was exceedingly glad for him that he removed Daniel from the den of the lions, and he called the men who accused Daniel. He not only called those men, but he called their wives and children and threw them into the lion's den, and they were eaten and their bones were broken before they reached the bottom of the den. So we see here is you need to be careful who you hang around. Get away from people who have your problem and hang with people who have your answer. All those men who accused Daniel, they're now dead, and their wives and their children, who literally did nothing but just was married to these men. So King Darius was so impressed with Daniel's God that he made another decree that every dominion of his kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Amen. He said he is the living God. King Darius recognized that. Daniel also prospered. The Bible says that he prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. The Bible says that Daniel believed in his God. There is no doubt that God gave Daniel special faith. Amen. A special manifestation to receive deliverance. Amen. And I just want to show us that we can have that same protection. Amen. Because God is not a respecter of person. What he does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another, all things being equal. Now, I want to look at another event regarding this special faith, but this involves a gift of faith for raising the dead. Amen. I didn't stutter. This involves the gift of faith for raising the dead. Now, we found out that the gifts of the Spirit often operate together. In the case of raising the dead, three of the gifts must operate together. And those three gifts are the gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Let me repeat that. We found out that the gifts of the Spirit often operate together. In the case of raising the dead, three of the gifts operate together. They are the gifts of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. This is one reason we don't see too many people raised from the dead. Some Christians may have one or more of these gifts in operation in their lives, but not too many have all of them in operation. Amen. First of all, in the case of raising the dead, it takes supernatural faith, the gift of faith, to call a person's spirit back when it has left his or her body. It takes a working of miracles to raise the person. And it takes the gifts of healing. Otherwise, if that person is not healed, they would immediately die again. Therefore, all three of the power gifts are in manifestation when someone is raised from the dead. And one must really believe that these signs follow him or she or her because of their belief. Now quickly turn to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Again, that's Mark, chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 17 and 18. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." It says, "These signs will follow those who believe." See, we have a lot of unbelieving believers. So these signs will not follow those who do not believe. So it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." He says, "In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues or languages. They will take up serpents, and they will, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Amen. And they will recover. So we see here, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So I wanted to read this before we get into this event that happened in the Bible. Because so raising the dead is possible. And we have a man in our midst in the 20th century by the name of Smith Wigglesworth, who, according to his close associate, Albert Hibbert, raised as many as 14 people. Amen. That's right. 14 people. Now, one would have been enough for me, but Smith Wigglesworth went beyond that. Amen. Hallelujah. One case Wigglesworth told about was a woman who died immediately after Wigglesworth and another man had prayed for her. Now listen, he went there with his associate and they prayed and the woman died. But what Wigglesworth did, you might find absurd. And he said that he reached over into the bed and pulled the dead person out, the dead lady, and he carried her across the room and stood her against the wall and held her up. after he held Smith Wigglesworth, commanded the corpse. He said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this death." Now listen what he said. He says, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this death." It says the woman's body began to tremble. And then he spoke again, Wigglesworth. He said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to walk." And the woman walked. She was restored back to life. See, Wigglesworth believed Mark 16:17-18. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Wigglesworth was a mighty evangelist in the 20th century. And he believed the word of God. He says, and these signs will follow those who believe. So my question is, do you believe? Do you believe that these signs will follow you? Amen. This is beyond anyone's ordinary faith. With ordinary faith, we could pull a dead person out of the bed as Smith Wigglesworth did and stand the body up and tell the corpse to walk. But with ordinary faith, you don't believe that corpse is going to return to life and walk. It takes supernatural manifestation of God's power to receive a miracle such as this. You know, many times, if we take a step of faith, of ordinary faith, the faith every believer has when they receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, when we come into the end of our own faith, then this supernatural faith, this special faith, will take over. I've came in some situations where my faith level has stopped, but the Holy Spirit kicked in and did exactly what it said it was going to do. The reason this hasn't happened with a lot of people is simply because they haven't used the faith that they already have. How can God give you something else when you haven't done what you're supposed to do or the assignment that he has given you with what you already have? It's not going to work. Now, all right, you guys are going to play me, huh? Okay, let me ask you a question. Satan has, the last few weeks, has been causing havoc weather throughout the country. There have been tornadoes, torrential rains, and unfortunately, there have been loss of homes and some loss of life. But we know that it's not God, because the scripture tells us the thief does not come except to kill, steal, and destroy. So that's killing, stealing, and destroying. So that's Satan. But our Lord and Savior says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So like I said, there's been torrential rains and tornadoes and everywhere. And unfortunately, there have been the loss of life. So my question is, how many of you have stepped out on your porch, out in your yard, and pointed up to the skies and commanded those rains and tornadoes to stop in the name of Jesus? How many of you done that? We are not trying to embarrass anyone. That is not our intent. But we do want you to grow in the things of God. We want you to be effective in the things of God. Amen. We do not want you lacking in the authority that God has given us as his children. Amen. We want you to be more than supplied with the things of God to handle the assignment that God has given you. Now I want to make sure that none of you don't misconstrue what I'm saying, because we have the authority to do that, to go out and speak to the rains and to the storms and to the tornadoes. Now, when I hear that none of you did that, then I think to myself one or two things. Either I, as the under shepherd of this church, didn't explain it correctly, or you don't believe God. Think about it. Why should Wigglesworth should be the only one that uses God in a supernatural manifestation of the power of the Almighty God. What God does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another. All things being equal. Amen. All right, now go with me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. Again, that's Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And let's look at what the word of God says about this. Deuteronomy, chapter 28. And we're going to begin with verse number 1. And it says this. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I have commanded you to do today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on the earth." Well, you know what? It looks like we will have to continue next week where we left off today. And please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It simply says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Continue to walk by faith, and may God's riches continue to be blessings in your life forever. See you next week. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.